Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God that I'm living here in the land of the living. Feel like I'm walking with the living dead, giving bread to the poor, a tent for the widow, and a pillow for the homeless head. I demand that we stand for y'all, live for something to die for nothing, the lives touching, cherish what I'm sharing, where there is no vision, the people perish, need to nourish y'all kids when they walk by. See the truth like a hawk's eye. Talk about this wonderful work. It's too late when you under the earth. We live under the curse, dispersed amongst the heathens. Israel charged for treason, all believing this red man was the real McCoy. I don't think they can see my joy. The holy land is inhabited, but still is void. Yahweh keeps still my poise. Till we head to the land, reversing my stance. The law is my blueprint. I'm rehearsing the plan.
But my people is rehearsing the thing. Hearing God's words, and then they cursing the king, screaming hallelujah, then they chirping their pen, only eating if they got split hooves through the cuts, swimming with the scales of the fence, while my spirit's killing my friends, seeing who's gonna make it until the end, while your unjust balance is getting your end. Glass jars got your block it out, for the life you gotta contend, but I'm loving my brother, but jealous to plant in, if God is no other in, y'all can't stand him, in the day of judgment, wicked won't be saved. The DICs continue to bring the grams, and the AICs continue to pump the acronyms. And in the 47s, the reverence is reaching the heavens, but they only excelling in more compelling mysteries of fortune telling, only fueling the overwhelming and never no rebellion. The time of America's falling, yeah, y'all be calling. Shut your doors, hot your stones, if it was for just a moment, y'all up on it. And so we need to seek meekness, seek the righteousness that if we own it, it's
God playing it, we own it. His name is pronounced more than any name in the book. We thought it was Christ. But knowing, you know what name was written all through the book, almost 10 times more than any other name throughout the book? It's Israel.
Israel.
There's only one name.
One name.
Mission.
More than Israel.
And that's the most. Maybe trying to find Christ and horse threat. Because every time they look at Christ, they talk about him. He said, now this is us again.
That's again.
My lady says we'll be the light to the Gentiles.
We're the one that's covenant to the people. We are the gate. We're the one he said you do my servant.
That's us he's talking about. Out of the book, he's talking about us.
I'm the messenger of Yah, stepping out of Beulah, from Babylon to Zion. My chains are looser in my mind, but out here the jakes are shooting. The judge judged for hire, the jury's a straight liar, just to see Israel fired up. They got our phones tapped and wired up, the police got you stuck. The one desire is us, this law requires us to buy this man. Pay to get salvation, who you playing? But I pulled your card, I seen your star, they false light. My spirit spit lyrics so cold, your frostbite. And that's the attitude from your murderous plight, from your witness every night. And your boys shot down in the street, and they mom was tight. Your overseas called, live a good life, like the hood's right.
In the land that God has blessed, see the truth manifested.
and y'all regret.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am your host this evening, Morey Ishyah Yisrael, from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And we'd like to say shalom to all of our listeners in the internet audience, where we know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great fear towards the mighty Yah. And we will bring you the truth and nothing but the truth, the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers. Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the only judge. Yahweh is the only lawgiver. Yahweh is the only king. And Yahweh is the only redeemer and savior of Israel in the world. We, the Moreys at the House of Israel, have been raised up to bring you the word of Yah. And we will discuss Yahweh's truth this evening. And we will discuss the sacrifice of the righteous. We've been hearing the great, beautiful teachings by our Morey Ishyah Yisrael, dealing with covenant, the covenants, like the covenant of marriage, and the covenant has been the everlasting covenant that has been broken, and even the covenant made by sacrifice, as we heard yesterday. But in order to enter into covenant, or into a covenant with the Almighty, you must, as we heard yesterday, be willing, and you also must be humble. And we're going to discuss this today. We'll start off by going to the book of Psalms, the 50th chapter. And we'll read the 5th verse, where it states, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And we need to know what is the sacrifice, which is in the very next Psalms, 51, verse 16, where it states, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Elohim, thou wilt not despise." So the Most High let us know his sacrifices that he accepts are those of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. He won't despise this sacrifice. Yet, how are our spirits and hearts upon entering into covenant with the Almighty? Are we humble? Are we meek? Are we low? Are we at all modeling ourselves after the Creator? And look what I mean by, are we modeling ourselves after the Almighty? In Psalms 113, verse 4, it reads, "Yahweh is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens," which lets you know there's no one that can be as high, that can be as lofty as the Almighty. He is above the heavens, which means he's above the stars. He's above the so-called universe. He's above the firmament. He's high above it. He's above all the nations. He's king of all nations, ruler and dominator of all nations. No one is as high as the Creator, who is like unto Yahweh our Elohim, who dwelleth on high. But who is like him, as it says in verse 6, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth, who also is like this. There's no way you could be as high as the Most High, but can you humble yourself? Yahweh humbled himself just to behold his creation. He lowered himself just to behold his handiwork. Verse 7, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye Yah. See, the Almighty, when he humbleth himself, he raises up those that are humbled. Look in the book, Isaiah 57. As this sentiment, as this teaching is repeated in Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is what the Creator does. He seeks out those that are low. Look in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, the first verse, where it states, thus saith Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is who the Almighty is looking to. This is who the Creator is looking at. And how can we go into a covenant without being humble? Almighty Yahweh humbled himself to raise up the poor. Do you think that the Almighty did not humble himself to deliver us from Egypt? The Almighty did exactly that. Came down from his lofty abode. And he traveled with us 40 years in the wilderness. His cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, where the children of Israel were able to behold the glory of the Creator with their own eyes. But yet, how are we to enter into covenant by sacrifice without that sacrifice being one of meekness, humility, and a contrite spirit, and a contrite and broken heart? Look what the Creator let us know in the book of Psalms, the 25th chapter, verse 9 states, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. This doesn't state that he'll do this to the arrogant, to the prideful. It's to the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And how are we entering into a covenant with the Almighty? By sacrifice, if that sacrifice is not one of humility, meekness. And why do you have to humble yourself? Why do you have to be meek and broken spirited and broken hearted in order to enter into this covenant, in order to make sacrifice? Because you have to give up your own self. Look in the book of Proverbs. The third chapter. In Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, or 6, I should say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Who? Yahweh. That's why it says in the fifth verse, trust in Yah with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You must be humble to do this thing. You're not going to be taught and led by the Almighty if your ways aren't acknowledging the Creator. If you raise up in the morning and don't acknowledge the Most High, how are your ways going to be? You didn't acknowledge the one that woke you up. You didn't acknowledge the one that's kept you through the night. If you don't acknowledge him before you lay down, how is your sleep going to be? You didn't acknowledge the one that kept you through the day, that made your day productive, that allowed you to see another day. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, acknowledge him. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Because then you can be humble. The Almighty humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and earth. And how do we behave? Let me show you. In the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, yes, verse 14, Isaiah 28:14 reads, wherefore, hear the word of Yahweh, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. See, we make these agreements with death. We make these covenants with hell. And how do you make an agreement with death? And how do you make an agreement with the pit? By saying, lies shall be your refuge. You're in denial about the current situation of your life. You're in denial that Yahweh is real, that Yahweh sees all, that Yahweh knows all, that Yahweh has a time stamp on this captivity, that Yahweh is coming to get you, that Yahweh is going to judge you. You're in denial about these things. You think the lies that you've been hiding under for 400 years are going to continue to protect you. You think the lies that you've been running to in the churches and in the mosques and in the synagogues and in the temples of the deities, you think these things will protect you. But these lies all have an end. And in our haughtiness and in our arrogance, the lies of our heart, the deceit of our own heart, has taken us into a place in which we think we are protected. But Yahweh said, therefore, in verse 16, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Yeah, Yah's saying, even though your lies is your refuge, your falsehood and your deceit, your covering, it won't last, it won't come to pass, but he laid in Zion a tried, precious stone. And he ain't talking about the Christ of the New Testament. He's not talking about the church down the street. He's talking about his word. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it go forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. The Most High is going to take away these lies. He's going to take away these agreements and covenants that you've made in the churches, these covenants that you've made in the temples, these covenants that you've made in the back rooms, these covenants that you've made in the dark with death and hell, teaching lies, being hidden by lies and deceit and falsehood, these backroom dealings, these covenants of darkness that have been made in the pride and in the haughtiness and arrogancy of your own heart. These things will not stand. And the Almighty is coming for them to destroy them. And every day, they'll be wiped away. Every day, they'll be washed away. Because Yahweh is going to open up the windows of truth. And now you can't make a covenant in haughtiness and in arrogancy that deal with lies. As a matter of fact, look how you must behave truly if you want to return to the Almighty Yah. Go to the book of Ezra. The 7th chapter. Start reading in the 6th verse where it says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moshe, which Yahweh Elohim of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of Yah his Elohim upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests, and the Levites, the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. And upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his Elohim upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of Yahweh, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You see, in verse 10, it lets you know what Ezra did. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of Yahweh, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. How can you go into any agreement with the Creator without a sacrifice by righteousness? Ezra had to prepare his heart. And you're going to see how he prepared his heart. Verse 11, now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave to Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of Yahweh and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the Elohim of heaven, perfect peace. And at such a time, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy Elohim, which is in thy hand. So the king said, everybody that want to leave, you can leave. And, you know, not everybody left. Some people wanted to stay in Babylon. And then we'll find what Ezra did. Here in the eighth chapter of Ezra, in verse 15, it says, and I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahaba. And there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Yerib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshluam, chief, and also for Yoarib and Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief of the place at Casphia. And I told them what they should say unto Iddo and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place of Casphia. And they should bring unto his ministers the house of our Elohim. And if you expedite down to verse 21, it says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our Elohim, to seek him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our Elohim is upon all them, for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our Elohim for this, and he was entreated for us. And this is how you humble yourself, with fasting, to seek the Most High for deliverance, for help out of your troubles, not by being haughty and lifted up. The Almighty showed this to Ezra, that they fast so they can find the Creator. Don't let the other things get in your way, the food and the drinks and the other things. Because you're humbling yourself, you're contrite and broken-spirited, so that you can find the Most High. He's high. He's lifted up. But he humbled himself to look for those that are low. Who are the lowly? Who are the meek? Who are the ones that are wanting to see Yah? How are you going to see the Most High? And you are prideful. In the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16, Yah says, these 6 things doth Yahweh hate. 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look. A proud look, which means you have a high look. How are you going to look prideful? How are you going to have this prideful look? This prideful aura, as if you behold and you control the glory. This isn't what the Most High is looking for. You're not looking for him if you're lifted up. Look in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Verse 16. It states here, or verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Now he's talking about us. We wax fat and we kick. Once we start feeling jolly and fat and comfortable, we start kicking and waxing fat and grown thick. And then we forsake Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. We figured we got all this on our own. We got all these riches on our own. We delivered ourselves out of Egypt, and we got to deliver ourselves out of America. There ain't no waiting for 400 years. That already happened. No, we have to get ourselves out of here. We got to walk out of here ourselves. We got to build our riches in our communities with guns and all kind of things so we can deliver ourselves. You waxing fat. You grown thick. You think that because you got a couple of dollars, a couple of nuggets, a few houses, you can do it yourself. Yahweh ain't going to let you do it yourself. You got to have meekness. That's how you find the Creator. That's how you enter into covenant with the Almighty. See, when the Most High brought us out of Egypt, we were humbled. We were brought low. We beheld His majesty. We saw that He was above us. Look in Exodus, the 19th chapter. Verse 4 says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. You saw that I was above you. I was over you. I brought down the mighty nation of Mizraim, Egypt. I brought down this nation and all their deities and all their firstborn. I brought them to their knees, and I brought you out. The mighty hand and a stretched out arm. I'm high above you." And the people knew it. And they said, "All that Yahweh has said, we will do." Because they already humbled themselves. They were already humbled at that time. It was evident that Yahweh was high above them. But you gotta also realize Yahweh of Egypt. He did that. And because Yahweh humbled himself to bring us out of Egypt, we humbled ourselves and gave him the honor. As you'll read in Proverbs, the 15th chapter. That's why in Psalms 113, it says, "Who is like unto our Elohim?" And in Proverbs 15, it states in verse 33, "The fear of Yahweh is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." How else did Yahweh get this honor? As it says, let me show you that again, in Psalms 113. And it's the fifth verse. "Who is like unto Yahweh our Elohim, who dwelleth on high?" Who's like him? Who dwells on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. He humbleth himself, and he beheld was in heaven and in earth. He raised up the poor. Honor comes after humility. Humility is before honor. And the Almighty did just that when he delivered us out of Egypt. He humbled himself. Look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 14, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yahweh's thy Elohim, the earth also with all that therein is." And he humbled himself, even though he's high above even the heaven of heaven. And when he did this thing, when he bore us on eagle's wings, then the people saw the great, awesome power of the Most High. So when Moses came and said, "These are the words of Yah," The people humbled themselves and said all that Yahweh has said we will do. That's why he said, gather my saints together that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You can't proclaim Yahweh is your Elohim. You can't proclaim Yahweh is your King. You can't proclaim Yahweh is your Savior, your Redeemer, your Guide, your Deliverer, your Teacher, your Abba, without being humble, without being contrite and broken down. Because there's no one above Yahweh. And if you think you don't need Yahweh, if you think you good on your own without Yahweh, then give that a shot and see where it gets you. But Yahweh said, whoso turneth away from the law shall remain in the congregation of the dead. I need to pull that exact scripture up. In Proverbs, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 16. So we can understand what the Almighty is letting us know. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And if you wander out of the way of the Most High, that's where you're going to be, the congregation of the dead. And who is in the congregation of the dead? The people that make covenants with death. The people that make agreements with hell. Humility comes before honor. You want to honor? You want to be honored? If a wife wants to be honored and enter into a covenant with her husband, then humility comes before honor. You can't go to the covenant of marriage saying what you demand, how you demand it, when you demand it, where you demand it, which way you demand it, in all other ways you demand. Humility comes before honor. You can't enter into a covenant with your wife with haughtiness and prideful, arrogant spirits. You have to be humble. You want your wife to enter into this covenant with you? Humility comes before honor. As Yahweh humbled himself, he's a master. He is the master. But he humbled himself to behold the lowly. He said Yahweh dwells with the lowly and the broken spirit and the brokenhearted, the contrite ones. He is the master. And you want to be a husband and enter into a covenant with your wife, but you don't want to be humble? You don't want to deal with meekness? You don't want to deal with compassion? Then how do you humble yourself to your wife to enter into a covenant? It's simple. It's exactly what Scriptures told you to do. And what did the scriptures tell you to do? In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because Yahweh have been a witness between thee and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. You can't be an unfaithful man. It say, every man shall proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You can't be an unrighteous man and not allow Yahweh to be the guide of your life, the instructor of your house, the governor of your world, the king of everything. How are you going to approach your wife outside of the laws of the Most High and claim that you're being meek? Yahweh's laws teach meekness, require meekness. No man should enter into a covenant with his wife that doesn't have Yahweh as his guide, Yahweh as his rule, Yahweh as his leader. You have to deal in the ways of the Most High. You can't enter into a covenant without humility. Not a one that is righteous. You can only enter into covenants of death and agreements with hell if you want to be haughty. What is a covenant that you can make with death? Because it said in the book that they made a covenant with death and let lies be their refuge. What kind of covenants are those? Where lies are your refuge? What kind of covenants allow lies to be your hiding place? I'll tell you the kind of covenants those are. The covenants that lack the word of Yah. And what do I mean by that? Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter. The 15th verse says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. This is how Yahweh determines establishing what matters. We need witnesses. You can't enter into a covenant in the dark with no witnesses, and then you say Yah is our witness. If Yahweh wanted you to enter into a covenant in the dark and say Yah is the witness, he would never made a law that requires witnesses for the breaking of any sin or any iniquity. How, for instance, do you go into a marriage covenant in the dark, in the back of your bedroom, with the lights out, with just you and Yahweh? Now, who's seen it? Who witnessed it? Who ratified it? Just you, the woman you're enticing and taking advantage of, and Yahweh. Now, Yahweh sees you. Yahweh knows what you're doing, and he knows that this is not what he ordained. Then you say you're married. Well, how are you married? Where's your witnesses? Because if the woman commits adultery, where is the covenant? But you made a covenant with death. You ain't in agreement. You tricked this woman to thinking that, oh, we just going to be married because I laid with you, and now I'm going to be your husband, and you'll be my wife. And that's our covenant. And now you just being a whoremonger. And that's a dark covenant. Then you have other type of dark dealings in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter. It says in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou not with them in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood and lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And they, you see, they say, cast your lot in with us. Become as one of us. Make this agreement with hell. You can't do, this is not the way of the meek. This is not the way of the humble. This is not the way of Yah. This is the way of the wicked that make these dealings, that make these agreements, that make these covenants in the dark. And you see, there's no humility in them because they're just trying to get what they want, when they want it, however they can get it. The same is with an unrighteous man just trying to turn one of Yah's daughters into a whore. This is not the way of the Most High. So you can't make these covenants without being, without this sacrifice, which has to be a sacrifice of righteousness. Yahweh said this in Psalms 50. Verse 16. Well, we'll start. Verse 14. Offer unto Elohim thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's what you do when you're meek and when you're humble. You offer unto Elohim thanksgiving. You pay your vows unto the Most High. You call upon Yah when you're in trouble. But, verse 16, unto the wicked Elohim saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Why are you talking about the right things? Yahweh's statutes are right things. What are you doing, wicked, to declare my statutes? Or that you shouldest take my covenant in your mouth. Wicked, why are you talking about my covenant? You're wicked. You're wrong. Yahweh declares things that are right. Wicked people declare things that are wrong, but have the audacity to speak of Yah's statutes. Have the audacity to speak of Yah's covenant. There's no humility in the wicked. There's no meek in the wicked. Only haughty. Only arrogancy, only prideful in the wicked. They don't speak of Yah's statutes, attempting to seek the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't speak of Yah's covenant, attempting to seek Yahweh. They speak of it in scorn. Seeing, verse 17, you hate his instruction and cast his my words behind thee. When you saw a thief, then thou consented with him. You made agreement with the thief. Go ahead and get that. I'll hold you down. You made a covenant with the thief and have been a partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy own neighbor's mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Though thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Why in the world will you do these things? Yahweh said, gather my saints together, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And this sacrifice is the sacrifice of the righteous. And this is a contrite heart, a broken spirit, and a contrite heart. And is your spirit broken? Is your heart contrite? If you are speaking evil, if you are slandering your brother, if you are slandering your sister, if you are partaking with thieves and adulterers, speaking against your own people, not being one that is meek. No, you're not authorized to speak of Yah's covenant, to put Yah's statutes in your mouth. Yet the wicked do it. And who else makes these covenants? And there's no way that they're covenants of righteousness. There's no way that they had the sacrifice of the righteous when they went into this covenant. If you look in Psalms 83, it says in verse 1, keep thou silence, keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Behold not thy peace, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, make a noise, cause ruckus. They getting it in. Thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and insulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. They done made covenants. And Yahweh said, these covenants that you made with death, and these agreements that you made with hell, letting lies be your refuge, he's going to wipe them away. They're going to be overflood in the scourge. They're going to be taken away. And your enemies have made these covenants. And the sad thing about it is we have entered into these same covenants just to be able to say that we are smart. We know something. The tabernacles of Edom, the Edomites, the so-called Jewish man, who lies about his own identity and lies about your identity and lies about the word of Yah and teaches lies all throughout their nations. to trick the world to think that you aren't Yah's servant. And our people have joined on to these lies. Go to the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter. How can your sacrifice be one of righteousness if you're connected to covenants of death and covenants with hell? That's why you have to humble yourself. And in Daniel, the 11th chapter, we're going to start at verse 29, where it says, "At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall not come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So he shall do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant." What is this saying? It's saying that the king, the ruling nation, will start to war against the people of the Holy Covenant. But not only will he do that, he will have intelligence with them to forsake the Holy Covenant. He will be in alignment with those that were, should have been part of Yah's covenant, but forsook it. Like Uncle Tom. Like those kind of people that rather align themselves with the wicked. And how can this be a sacrifice of righteousness if Yahweh said that he hates a proud look? He hates a lying tongue. We cannot align ourselves with the wicked in order to prosper. We have to align ourselves with Yahweh. Again, in Isaiah, the 8th chapter. It says in verse 9, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For Elohim is with us. For Yahweh spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." You don't have to go into these agreements and into these alignments with everyone that says a confederacy. And you don't have to make these plans with all these other folks that are trying to prepare themselves for the worst of the worst and the terrible of the terrible, because they are afraid of sudden fear, because they are afraid of another man. Yahweh said, "Sanctify Yah of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." And once you do that, you humble yourself, you break your own heart, you break your own spirit. You refrain from going after the things that your heart fear and going after the things that your heart is afraid of. You break that heart. You break that spirit. And then you become fearful of Yah. You become a servant of the Most High. not allowing anyone to entice you away from the way of the Creator. Because the Almighty does want you going after covenants of death made with hell. This is how you get yourself caught up. And you get yourself caught up by not controlling that spirit. The Almighty lets us know. In the book of Zephaniah. Second chapter. This is what we're supposed to do. First verse. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together a nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you. Seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, his righteousness. Seek meekness. How are we going to do this if you're not meek? How do you gather yourselves together if you're not meek? How do we gather ourselves together if we're not being humble? If we're not making this sacrifice? Because once we gather ourselves together, we have to go into covenant with the Almighty to seek Him. But if we're not going to gather ourselves together, if we're not going to seek Yah's face, then we're not going to have any deliverance. What you will be is left to die. Who wants to be left to die because they didn't humble themselves to the Most High? If Yahweh can humble himself and behold the heaven and behold the earth and lift up the poor from the dust, who are we that can't humble ourselves to do the will of the Most High, that can't make the sacrifice to leave our own personal comforts, our own personal ways behind? You gather yourselves together. If you wanted to keep your own ways, you don't gather. But if you don't gather, you don't listen to Yahweh. When people start gathering themselves together, they're making a sacrifice to be together, which means some things you can't have no more, some things you can't do anymore. And why are you gathering yourself? Because you're a nation that's not desired. Nobody wants to be gathered with you. Gather with yourself, because Yahweh is coming. And you got to seek him, all the meek that does his judgment. Yahweh said this in the book, I believe it's Deuteronomy. Let me see it for a second. The law let us know that you shall not oppress a stranger. Of course, in your neighbor, but a stranger. That sojourneth with you. The point is this. If you, Yahweh wants you to gather together, even the ones that sojourn with you, to seek Yahweh, your brothers, your sisters, even the strangers that are not of your nation that want to serve Yahweh, they want to gather with you. And if we oppress our own, Yahweh said the poor that oppress the poor is like a sweeping rain that leaves no food. We cannot be haughty and arrogant and prideful against our people. That's how we don't gather together. Yahweh's law requires us gathering together for salvation. And we have to be meek. We have to seek Yahweh for this. This is Yahweh's orders. If you look even in the book of Micah, he'll repeat this very thing. In Micah, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. He showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. These are the things we got to do. Be humble with our Elohim. Walk, be lowly with our Elohim. How else are we going to gather together? How else are we going to make this covenant by sacrifice? How else are we going to have the sacrifice of the righteous if we're arrogant?
What was that scripture? You sure?
Let's see if he's right. I'm going to look at it before I announce it. Go to the book of Ezekiel 22. And start at verse 23, where it says, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, when Yahweh hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And why is Yahweh done this? Why has Yahweh said this? Because it is the exact opposite of how we should be and how we were. We did these things, and now we suffer them. And we still do these things today. Yet we think that we're keeping the law of Yah, when we're oppressing and vexing the poor and the needy? How do you vex the poor? The poor and the needy. Why do you vex the needy? That's not a humble spirit. That's not contrite. And we're poor and needy ourselves. But the covenant that's made by sacrifice requires you to judge the poor, to stand for the needy, to deliver the stranger, and go to the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. In Isaiah 49, we'll start reading at verse 7. Thus saith Yahweh, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Not only did he say you're going to be the light to the Gentiles, but this is also what Yahweh said in Isaiah 42. It says, I, Yahweh, in verse 6, I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. How in the world are we going to be a covenant for the people? Meaning, we're going to be a sign. We're going to be part of a covenant for the nations. They're going to have to come to Israel to receive the law of Yah. It's going to be part of the covenant that he makes with the nations. And how can you be part of this great and massive covenant if you cannot make your own covenant with the Most High by sacrifice, by doing that righteous sacrifice and humbling yourself? Yahweh is going to put Israel on the highest pedestal, the highest platform, and you're going to have to judge the nations. You're going to have to behave and model your behavior after the manner of your king. Who is like unto Yahweh? Who is dwelling on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the heaven and the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and he sets the lowly upon horses to become princes. This is what Yahweh does. And the only way you can be a part of the great acts and the great deliverance of the Creator is by making a covenant by sacrifice, and that sacrifice be a sacrifice of the righteous, to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You have to humble, and we have to humble ourselves to the Almighty and to his ways, to do his will. For Yahweh, he loves you very much. Until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so be at the house of Israel. Shalom. Praise Yah.
In regard, we have come a long way. Yeah, we got so far before we right before our king. All of this ain't seen, so we the sons of righteousness. We're healing something that we can go.
Because I can see it.